Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. I feel like Pompeiani in a preseason game.
Law and Order SVU. This time, they have fresh fish.
Third down, Mason Rudolph drops back to pass, but make sure you catch Tulsa King with Sylvester Stallone, and he sacked Broderick Jones at turnstile again. Jeff Hathorn, our sports director, joins us now. Good morning, Jeff. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. The best where the show's is like next on Gilmore Girls. Yeah. has a tough night trying to figure out if Brad really likes her.
Jeff, you know who had a tough day on Sunday? I almost slipped up and said Saturday again, which Texter said I did it before. It's because I got Brawl on my mind. Great. West Virginia can lose by a million. Anyway, Broderick Jones, bad day. Do you think the Steelers, with a couple more bad Broderick Jones performances, would consider benching their left tackle?
I think they would, but I don't think they're there yet at all. I don't think, let me make that clear. They're not there yet at all. But if he has, you know, four or five more in a row of what we saw yesterday, they've got to consider options because it just, or yes, on Sunday, they've got to consider options because it wasn't good. I mean, you got to be inside and outside. Now, listen, I think there's some talent on that Jets DN group. That needs to be stated here, but I mean, Broderick just wasn't, he wasn't good enough.
Who do you think that they would put in? Who do you think it would be? Andrus Pete? Do you think it'd be Calvin Anderson? Who do you think, and what direction would they go? Could they be searching for maybe a trade opportunity for another tackle at this point?
I mean, we're getting a little down the road, but I think internally Calvin Austin is their swing tackle. So I think he would probably get, and this is a guy who started in the league. And I don't think they would mess with Fautanu at this point. I think he stays on the right side. But I mean, again, it's early. It's hopefully there you see a ton of improvement. Like you want to see from the defense that you also see that from Broderick on Sunday.
I'm sorry. I just pictured Calvin Austin.
Yeah, you said Calvin Austin, not Calvin Anderson.
Oh, I'm sorry, Calvin Anderson.
And I pictured Calvin Austin. I was like, oh, man, that poor guy.
We all knew what you meant. But that would be something.
That would be something.
Arthur you know Smith in his
you know
bag.
It's interesting. In the locker room, it's Calvin Austin, Mason, and then Broderick. So when Mason's not there, it's like one huge dude and Calvin. And it's like, I wonder if Calvin's like, Broderick, just sit down. Just when you're at your locker, just always sit down.
Like J.J. Watt and Ian Eagle, did you see that picture?
I did see that. And yes. My buddy called it out when we were watching at the restaurant. And I said, Ian, he got to be sitting down, right? He wasn't sitting down. Jeff,
I was watching the game back yesterday, and Leslie's like, "Is he standing?" Unfortunately, he is.
Yeah. JJ, a big man. Jeff, they obviously have a lot of faith in Troy Fautanu, and we heard from you and others how much faith that they had in Calvin Austin III. Haven't heard the same kind of whispers about Broderick Jones. So obviously it did not go well on Sunday. And you say they're not going to, pull the trigger on benching him anytime soon. But do they have an internal belief that he will ultimately be the long-term answer at left tackle, do you think?
I mean, I think they wanted to believe, and that some of the things you saw in camp, you're like, okay, because the last couple of practices of camp in Latrobe, like even the most critical fans that saw went, all right, there is some improvement.
Right.
When you watch the preseason games, there wasn't anything that was like, oh man, now you have to consider the competition, but let's just take it at face value. The people he went against, he did a pretty good job. So you thought, all right, he's getting it on the left side. And maybe this is just one game. Maybe this was just because of the opponent, because of who it was. But I still think there is confidence. But again, if you were to stack a month or so of those performances, I think you've got to consider options.
Jeff, do you have confidence in this defense and defensive line fixing the issues that they had on Sunday?
Man, Patrick Queen, I think, laid it out pretty well. Like, they keep playing like that, it's going to be bad news. I mean, at some point, you're going to add Derek Harmon. So that's gonna help this group. I think we saw a few times that Peyton Wilson was either chasing or out of position. Like, there are things when they watch the film back, I think they're going to go, okay, we did this. And all right, this was great. Like, just stay in your gaps. Don't make hero plays. Like, do what you need to do. I would say initially, wouldn't they have loved to have a Landon Roberts for that game on Sunday? Mm. I mean, that is a piece that I look at and say, and Malik Harrison is hurt, so I don't know what his availability is going to be like for the next couple of weeks. But you hope it's just some of those things. And I will say this too. I mean, if Breece Hall played for a winner, everybody would know his name.
Yeah.
I mean, some of those cuts he made were elite NFL running back cuts. And then he's got that burst. And as he's hugging Aaron Rodgers, you think Aaron's like, dude, you want to come with me?
Yeah.
Right?
Guy's a stud.
Because I think the guy is legit.
Fan Hotline, that's where we find Jeff, is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I hate putting you on the spot like this because Tomlin is going to speak at noon today, but you think there's a decent shot Harmon plays in this game?
I think there's a decent shot. I think he's going to leave the window open for the week, see how the week plays.
Door ajar, leave a light on for him, that kind of thing?
Yes.
Let participation be their guide?
Yes, that's the one. Participation will be the guide, and we'll see. I mean, we haven't seen him out on the field, but I don't think it's out of question that he could play. But you guys can kind of figure it out. Like Herbig last week, limited. If it's limited all week, you kind of know the answer even before it comes out. But that would be a welcome addition to that front.
What about in anticipation to Mike Tomlin's press conference, what about Joey Porter Jr. or Deshaun Elliott?
Yeah, we never really even got an injury for Porter. We know it was left leg. Hopefully it's just something he tweaked. Elliott, man, knees can be so tricky because, as you guys know, you could see a guy walking around
right
with a knee and think, oh, okay, he's fine, and he's done. So I don't know. We talked to a couple of guys. Thornhill said yesterday that he was hoping that, you know, he would come back quickly. So we don't know at this point. But, yeah, and I'll quote Thornhill again. He's like, man, we just got out on the field with all of us. And then all of a sudden we're without Elliott. And I will say I think Juan and Clark made some plays in the backfield filling in.
Do you expect them to sign a safety or a corner today or tomorrow?
I guess it'll depend on the severity here. Mm-hmm. But I think they like their – I know people worry about Pierre, but that's someone that they've always liked. True. And I don't know what Trice's availability would be, but I think they have a couple of options there. But safety, I think – I mean, and you also have Beanie as a guy who's played games for you if you just want to move Ramsey around.
Oh, great. Put a microphone in front of him brawl week. I'm sure he won't friggin' say anything.
It's funny. He came into the room late, and it was almost like, oh, sorry, the room is closing. You can't go talk to Beanie. So,
thanks to Bert for not giving Pitt any more bulletin board material for the game. Jeff, it was obvious. I thought, and I wasn't there, so this is why I want to ask you about it. It was obvious to me that not only can Rodgers play, but that there is a belief 1 through 53 that he is the right guy. And the reaction, not just from Rodgers, but from the sideline when he threw that touchdown pass, like, I bet you if you walked in there, maybe you have, and you talk to every guy, they believe they've got a quarterback.
Yeah, I think the reaction is as much for Rodgers as that it was Skowronek with the first touchdown. Those guys, I know people get tired of hearing about him, but they love this guy because of how hard he plays and what he's willing to do. I mean, you watch a couple of those run plays to steal. I mean, there's Skowronek right up in there in the middle of the defense making plays. But to your point with Aaron, I mean, we had been seeing some of that, but it was the most Ben-like performance we've seen from a Steeler quarterback since that. I mean, finding open receivers. It didn't matter who it went to. Being able to hold guys with play action, even when the run game wasn't going. He's still technical enough to be able to do that. And then a couple of those throws, I mean, his arm strength is still there. And you guys saw that in that game. I mean, he's still got it. And man, the receivers made some plays. Calvin Austin, that combat catch near the goal line. I mean, that's a legit play. I mean, I thought they executed really well. And I think he and Arthur obviously seem to be on the, it's 1 week, but seem to be on the same page. I think Arthur called a good game as well.
Yes, he did. Jeff, this was really good. It always is. We appreciate your time, and we will talk to you on Thursday pre-Brawl and pre-Steelers Seahawks.
Big weekend. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. Thanks, boys.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks, Jeff.
See you, Jeff. Jeff Hathorn, our sports director. Find more of Jeff's goodies on 93.7thefan.com. One of the guys being affected, I think, by Broderick Jones' struggles is Roman Wilson. He played 10 snaps. He had a really good preseason. He played 10 snaps, and I think it's because you're going to play Darnell Washington a ton as the extra protector. He played, and now he might anyway, but he played 46% of the snaps, did Washington, and I mean, he wasn't running a ton of routes. And you need him out there if you right. can't trust Broderick Jones.
Right. And then it's like, okay, if Washington isn't out there, it's like, all right, who's the next guy? You got to have Johnny. You got to have Pat Fry out there. You got to have Calvin Austin out there. You got to have DK out there.
He's the odd man out.
He is at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But well, I think as the season goes on, you'll see a little bit more of him.
I would think so, too. I was a little bit surprised, but hey, 7 receivers that Rodgers hit, 4 touchdowns. Didn't need Roman Wilson to go out there and make plays. But to Jeff's point, if Roman's out there, he's running routes and he's open, he's going to throw him the football.
For sure.
But I'm itching to see what that looks like in a regular season game. It is 7:15. Time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. Much to react to from Jeff, and we will when we come back.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You ever seen like Ben McAdoo calling plays?
Yeah.
And he's got the Cheesecake Factory menu basically right up in front of his face.
Mm-hmm.
We might need to be doing that on the YouTube stream.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the stuff we're talking about off the air.
I forgot about that. Yeah, good call.
It didn't hit me until I clicked over to see how the YouTube comments were going. Like, oh, you know, written lip readers out there. Although you just heard from me, it'd probably be pretty impossible. The way I butcher the English language.
Yep.
Sometimes we're having such a good dude conversation off the air, I don't know how to get back into sports mode.
It is tough.
And I find myself in that position right now.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to tell you all out there to text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And we would love for you to tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.com. .net. The return of Are You Smarter Than a Plumber? We'll mix it up with a little trivia coming up in about 10 minutes. But I wanted to react to Jeff. Jeff said the Steelers aren't thinking about benching Broderick Jones right now, but definitely wouldn't rule it out. And there are some guys that are going to get to play and take their lumps and keep taking their lumps, and you're going to just hope that through playing they're going to get better. What I heard in Jeff's answer was they will give him some length of time to be able to do that. But he's not going to be on scholarship the whole season.
No.
Like, you're not just going to go out there and stink out loud, game in and game out, and oh, because we drafted you in the first round, you just get to play. And I'm happy to hear that. It would be an absolute cataclysmic failure. The Steelers have done the right thing in attempting to build in the trenches. But they have, to this point, failed with Broderick Jones. And I haven't said this yet. I think that they failed to this point with Keanu Benton. He got bullied.
Yeah, he did.
On Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was really good as a rookie, man. I didn't think he was great last year, but I thought he was far from awful. I thought he was awful on Sunday.
Yeah, one of the, I think it was his worst game as a pro.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see if PFF graded him out higher than Rodgers.
That is just wild.
Broderick Jones and Aaron Rodgers got the same Pro Football Focus.
How?
Grade. I don't understand it, man. I'm not going to reference Pro Football Focus for a while here on the show. I miss our guy, Brad Spielberger, and we talked to him, and Brad knew what he was doing and still knows what he's doing. He works in the industry, played the game. I don't know how you can, and for those of you who don't know, watch all the games on Sunday and tell me that 25 quarterbacks played better than Aaron Rodgers, because that's what Pro Football Focus said. They said 25 quarterbacks were better than Rodgers. And I think you can make a reasonable argument that like five might have been. I thought Lamar was wonderful.
Yeah, Josh Allen.
I thought Josh Allen was wonderful. I thought, I mean, that might be the list. Justin Herbert was really good.
He was really good.
But if you would have told me they gave him a top five grade, I'd have said, yep. And I would have referenced it. And I would have been like, look, even the Filmer Breaker Downer people are saying that Aaron Rodgers played great. I'm interested to see how the national narrative turns now. Because yesterday, all the analysis was, wow, Rodgers played well. He threw four touchdowns. Even some of the stuff that has already come out today on the morning shows nationally, wow, Rodgers played well. I'm wondering who among the national media is going to come out today and say, you know what, Rodgers didn't actually play that well, but that wasn't their opinion when they watched the game, but now that they got the bad analytics behind it, they'll say he didn't play all that well. Because it's coming for someone, and that person shall reveal themselves, Doran, as a non-ball knower.
Colin Cowherd.
Cowherd was saying they've got an adult at quarterback.
Okay.
Is very, very Cowherd.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
They've got a parent.
They have a parent.
They have a dad.
They do.
A father.
Mm-hmm.
Of a father at quarterback.
You would trust Aaron Rodgers to tuck your children in at night.
Yes.
That was the Cowherd take. But you're going to get someone today. You know what? Upon further review, Rodgers didn't really play that well. And I'm having a hard time understanding, because the advanced analytics would tell you that from a clean pocket, Rodgers was almost flawless. Okay, so if it's not a clean pocket and things broke down, whose fault is that?
Exactly.
Rodgers? No. Okay, he can't escape. Fair enough. There were a couple of throws on the run to his right, though. It's still a pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to escape the way he used to be able to escape, but you're going to hammer him for that whenever he... What the hell do we have going on over here?
What is that?
We have some sort of Trojan horse situation going on. There is a man...
Is that a plant?
I have no idea what it is. Are we getting plants delivered here to the station? I don't know what's going on. We'll effort to find out.
At least you got that will together. You're good. You're good.
All right. I didn't mean to go down the PFF Rodgers wormhole there. Well,
it just doesn't make any sense to me, honestly, at the end of the day. Like, I just, what was, it's not like he was getting the ball out late. It's not like he threw interceptions. It's not like he had any fumbles. I just don't understand it.
Doran, Aaron Rodgers' grade by PFF was 54.5. Russell Wilson's was 54.1. So basically, according to Pro Football Focus, Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers played about the same level of football game. Russell Wilson's team scored 6 points, and his coach, I guess, lobbied the owner to play Jackson Dart Week 2.
Yep.
I can't take it seriously. All right, we'll take a brief break from the football and get a little trivia in. Test your trivia knowledge against us as we test our trivia knowledge against Southside Jake when we come back with Are You Smarter Than a Plumber?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. Southside Jake back with us to test our sports knowledge. We got trees delivered, Doran. That's what that was.
That is right.
Two new fake trees in a conference room that, according to me, right now, look exactly like the trees that were just replaced.
Yep. Same ones.
Because fake trees, nothing bad happens to them. They're fake. Jake, how we doing, buddy? You have the bronchitis.
Yeah, I'm finally starting to feel a little bit better here. You know, it takes a little bit of time. But, yeah, I'm good. All good, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you sound like death. You ready to test our trivia knowledge?
Yeah, I'm ready, man. It's, you know, you feel that weather outside, and especially here in the morning. You know it's football weather, and you know what else?
Damn
time
right.
Time to get your furnace checked. Time to get that furnace checked. Let's go. But let's jump into the questions, I guess, right?
Let's do it.
All right, first one, here we go. What is the largest point deficit the Steelers have failed to come back and win? Have faced to come back and win, I'm sorry.
What the hell are you saying?
I'm sorry. We'll start this over. Oh, my goodness. Oh. What is the largest point deficit the Steelers have faced to come back and win?
Okay.
There we go. Does that sound a little bit more
so
right?
So pretty much the biggest comeback in Steelers history.
Yeah. Yep. All right. A, 21 points. B, 17 points. C, 33 points. Or D, 26.
Do the playoffs count?
Yes.
I think it was that Browns Fuamatu Ma'afala game with Dennis Northcutt.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't remember how far down they were.
I want to say 26.
26 sounds big. What were the options?
A, 21, B, 17, C, 33, or D, 26.
I actually think it's 17.
Okay.
But I don't want to be wrong, and then you be right.
I think we go 17.
What? You sound horrendous. Let's go with 17 then.
All right. B, 17 locked in. That is incorrect, guys. It is actually A, 21. Hmm. And that was to the Ravens. Another blown lead by the Ravens in 1997. 42-34 win Steelers.
Hmm.
So, okay. Yeah, Ravens okay. Like to blow them leads, I guess, huh? All right.
Sound like Dana Holgorsen at a press conference.
What is the largest point lead blown by the Steelers?
Ooh.
A, 15. B, 21. C, 18. Or D, 13.
Man. I'm trying to think.
I'll tell you this. It probably didn't happen in our lifetime, just before we were born.
Then I have
it
no.
It was in the
80s. 50-50?
Yeah, let's do the 50-50. Good call.
Great. Great call. Okay, staying on the board. Is B, 21 or C, 18?
I think it's a trick question. I think they're both 21.
I'm going with my guy, Doran Dickerson.
B, 21.
That is incorrect. Oh. It is C, 18. Now, Steelers fans, Steelers tread lightly. This was against the Seahawks in 1981. So, 21-24 loss, 18-point lead blown. So, again, we don't want to see history repeat itself.
All right, hit us with the final question. We lost.
Oh, my God, you're so sad. You're so sad. All right, against this franchise, the Steelers have the worst winning percentage. 28 games, 8 wins, 19 losses, and 1 tie. A, Green Bay Packers. B, New York Giants. C, San Francisco 49ers. Or D, Chicago Bears.
Repeat the question one more time.
Against this franchise, the Steelers have the worst winning percentage. 28 games played, 8 wins, 19 losses, and 1 tie. A, Green Bay Packers, B, New York Giants, C, San Francisco 49ers, or D, Chicago Bears?
I want to say the Bears.
I want to say the Giants.
Should we phone a Callis?
I kid you not. I was between Packers and 49ers.
I don't think it's the Packers because, I mean, at least in my lifetime, I remember a fair amount of wins over the Packers. I remember some gut-wrenching losses to the Bears.
Only reason why I say Giants is because of Mara, and I feel like they played a lot because of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have played them all the same, it sounds like, yeah, roughly.
I will give you guys this.
Oh.
You two are very close.
How can we be very close? How can we be close? There's four answers.
So, one is the most. One is the other one is the second most.
All right, let's go with the Giants.
Okay. B, New York Giants, you are wrong. It is D, Chicago Bears.
Get the hell out of here. Goodbye, Jake. Thank you for your time. Go fix a furnace.
That was bad.
Go fix a furnace.
Bad.
All right, boys. I'll catch you later. Thanks.
Thanks, Jake.
And I got to read on the YouTube. I flip over to YouTube to see if they're making fun of us for getting slaughtered by Jake. And I just read, just a few more days till Pitt beats the team that lost to Ohio.
You excited for this weekend?
No.
Oh.
Of course I'm not excited. Would I be excited if the president of the United States got on national television and said, hey, Saturday a meteor's going to hit and you're all going to die. And so you know from Tuesday on that something terrible is going to happen to you on Saturday.
Hey, listen, Crowley, at least you got your will done.
Yeah, why can you not do sports right in your mind?
I don't understand. What do you mean?
No, sorry, comparable things. Oh, if the president says a meteor is coming down, it's going to hit us. That is not comparable to a football team.
In his mind, it's comparable.
Why?
I know because something horrendous is coming my way on Saturday, and there's nothing I can do about it. It's a fait accompli. West Virginia is losing the game, and then I got to deal with it for 4 years.
You have zero hope?
I'm always going to support my guys. There's always a little bit of hope. You got to spot the ball and play the damn game. But no, not really. I don't have hope.
You take fanatic to the opposite direction.
Well, I think a fanatic is someone who's fanatical.
That's what a fan is.
Right, and that means...
Eternal optimism, constant support.
I don't agree with that. I think it means constant support, absolutely, but it doesn't mean that you have to have an unshakable, unwavering confidence in your team. I think you support the team despite your lack of confidence. I think that's what makes the best fans.
You can't find one possible reason why WVU could compete with Pitt.
The only thing...
if that meteor does hit.
The only thing I think that should be the reason why that you should have any type of confidence, like Callis is saying, like one sliver of hope, is because it's the game.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
Because it's the backyard brawl.
Right. Because weird stuff tends to happen in this rivalry, in any big-time great rivalry. Yeah.
Yeah, like WVU's blown a couple of very winnable games in my lifetime, at the least.
You know what they say in a rivalry game like this? You throw the records out. And I wish we literally could throw the record out. Just take that record, that 1-1 record, just throw right in the trash. Much more on the backyard brawl as the week progresses. Crap. Coming up next, I got more for PFF, though, on this Rodgers stuff. I got more. We have a very special guest coming up at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour, too. We'll tell you a little bit more about that coming up. 50-minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Could be a big-time player on the NFL trade market sooner rather than later. And the Steelers could be interested. This according to one of the preeminent voices in all of the NFL. We'll get to that coming up in about 10 minutes. Aaron Rodgers was the 26th highest graded quarterback in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus, going into last night. Did Caleb Williams pass him up? Did J.J. McCarthy pass him up? J.J. McCarthy accounted for 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
No quarterback has ever done that before in their first ever start. So congratulations to him. But the list of guys ahead of Aaron Rodgers, it makes my head want to explode. Cam Ward, graded higher than Rodgers, according to PFF. Joe Burrow. Get the hell out of here.
See, I got to see what these guys, the stat lines were, too.
I mean, Burrow threw for 118 yards.
Oh, that's crazy.
He stunk. It wasn't all his fault. He wasn't getting protected. He had to deal with Myles Garrett, but guess what? Rodgers didn't get much in the way of protection either, and the Steelers couldn't run the ball.
I need an explanation here. I need one too. I have no idea what they were seeing. Like, is this a glitch?
We got to call up Chris Collinsworth.
Is it a glitch? Now, here's a guy.
You know what I had to laugh at was when he laughed when Lamar Jackson made that crazy play on Sunday night. Lamar was like 47 yards deep in the backfield, making dudes miss, and he got like a 15, 20-yard gain. And there's no commentary from Collinsworth as it's going on. You just hear Tirico, and Collinsworth is just laughing in the background because it was so absurd.
Ridiculous.
But his company sucks. And here's why I bring this up. It's like, I have no reason to be personally offended on behalf of Aaron Rodgers. He threw 4 touchdowns. My team won. I'm happy. And we all know, with our eyes, he played well. But what drives me nuts is Pro Football Focus winds up shaping the national narrative to the point where Myles Garrett got a Defensive Player of the Year award, not based on eyes, not based on the typical counting stats that we usually care about for an edge rusher. No, he got the Defensive Player of the Year award because a bunch of people, and we don't know their criteria, watched him and said, oh, he's the best.
Mm-hmm.
And now the same company is telling us that Aaron Rodgers was the 26th best quarterback in the NFL. If Spencer Rattler, who graded out 23 points ahead of Aaron Rodgers,
what?
Played for the Steelers on Sunday, do they win the football game? No.
What was Justin Fields?
Justin Fields was 9th. He graded out 82.2. Aaron Rodgers was 54.5.
Where was Joe Burrow again?
Joe Burrow was 14th with a 75.6 grade.
I think I know why that is, actually. Because he had 2 carries for 3 yards. That's what did it.
You know what? Joe Burrow, Joe Burrow's running metric here was a 48.1, whereas Aaron Rodgers was actually somehow a 60, which I also don't understand. I don't understand!
It just doesn't make any sense. I never put stock into this, and I'm going to continue not to. Never have. It's irrelevant, in my opinion.
The reason why I can't agree with you is because it's relevant to the people who make decisions in terms of awards, which just boggles my mind. We can never again allow this to happen, Doran, where a guy can clearly be not as good as another guy, and the guy who's worse wins an award. And it's because people put a ton of stock in this. And I'm not trying to like rip the people who do it. I'm really not. Because, you know, these guys, they're paid, they watch the tape, they evaluate to the best of their ability, but they don't know all the assignments. They don't know what Rodgers is doing at the line of scrimmage. They don't know what he's checking out of. Rodgers, part of the reason why he played so well, I think, is because he's up there at the line of scrimmage getting out of bad plays. You don't account for that. That's what being an elite quarterback is. It's not just, oh, I throw ball. It's all the other stuff. And Rodgers wasn't just better than the 26th best quarterback in the NFL. Rodgers played an elite football game on Sunday. If I ever reference Pro Football Focus again, you can come over here and slap me upside the head. I'm never doing it again.
All right.
Unless I'm ripping them.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers is the second highest rated quarterback in the NFL by QB rating at 136.7. Who played better on Sunday, Justin Fields or Aaron Rodgers? I think Fields was great. But he had a running game.
I think it was equal, honestly.
See, I can buy that. That's fine.
It was equal. Some of the throws that Fields was making was impressive.
He looked better than he ever did as a Steeler.
But some of the throws Aaron Rodgers was making was impressive.
Yes. If you want to say they're a tie, fair enough. But one guy ain't 24 points or whatever it is exactly. Ahead of the other.
Exactly.
It's laughable. Texter, does baby want a bottle because someone doesn't agree with you about your quarterback? I mean, call up and make the case then for why those guys were graded higher than Rodgers. I'm just curious. I think it's an obnoxious misevaluation of what happened on Sunday. And I'm wondering Maybe I'm so used to bad quarterback play around here that I'm overvaluing Rodgers' performance, but I don't think that's what I'm doing.
No, you're not.
If people out there think that's the case, give us a ring at 412-928-9370. What do you think PFF saw? Because I ain't seeing it. You ain't seeing it.
Nope.
And I trust you more than I trust me. We ain't seeing it. Harry doesn't think that Rodgers is the 26th best quarterback in the NFL. All right, coming up next, you can call about PFF if you want to voice your frustrations. We'll also tell you about a hot new name in the NFL trade market who has been connected to the Pittsburgh Steelers. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, a high of 76, a low of 48, clear skies. Tomorrow, another beautiful day, sunny and 77.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.